Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Today we are going across the pond and talking to Ian Moise, who I have been connected on LinkedIn specifically for more years than I think Ian and I would both like to count. We're going to dive into a lot of the stuff he does. Now, he does a lot of the same sort of things that we have done over the years, and he does them just a little bit differently. So I'm super excited about picking his brain. Ian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me today, and look forward to discussing some of these subjects with you.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about your history. Just give us the past, few years on what's been going on and how you got to where you are right now.
Sure. So I'll keep it short. So started in sales leadership, been in sales leadership many years, and I've just seen the world change. It's become increasingly more difficult to engage and get that initial prospecting piece done. And I see it across businesses. I was experiencing it. So through that and leading teams and trying to hit targets and drive the business, I evolved into figuring out how do we use some of the new tools? How do we do some things differently? Not by reading a book that you can now do, and I'm sure we'll touch on as you go through. The stuff's now available and how to do this, but we're figuring it out sort of organically, testing, trying things the hard way. And that's where I fell into this thing, social selling and how you use social media, not because I wanted to, not because I thought that was the solution, just because I was trying lots of things. And I suddenly dawned on, by accident, some of this works. And then I've learned a bit more and a bit more to get into the point today where I actually get invited to, like we're doing today, but to speak at events and to give advice to companies in addition to using it in leading my own team.
Let's talk about what you have learned, what you do present. And engagement, Ian, is the biggest issue that we have found, basically just with financial services professionals, even estate planning attorneys and CPAs. What are you doing to increase engagement, or what do you tell people to increase engagement?
Well, I'd love to say, firstly, there's a magic golden key that just do this one thing and the world will change for you. And it's not that simple. It's a multitude of different things. So firstly, the thing I instruct people to understand is this isn't a technology fix. This is a methodology. You're using technology, using social media, using what's now available, but it's a methodology about thinking differently about how you behave and how you engage. If you can pick up the phone. So the first thing is always, if you can pick up the phone right now and get hold of that person you want to speak to, do it. Don't go the slow route. Social media, social selling isn't the quickest route to the end result. But if you can't get through on the phone, which is often the problem, or you can't get through using traditional methods, then this is complements and supplements your existing processes. This is your backup plan, so to speak. And you do them in parallel, right? So if you're trying to get hold of 50 prospects, depending what your business is or the nature of your territory, try the quick and old traditional method, because it is quicker if it works. Meanwhile, in parallel, use these new methods, because the ones that are going to take longer or aren't going to answer the call, who are blocking you, shielding you, as we all do every day. We all shield and look at the phone number calling us and go, I don't know who that is, I'm not answering. Those ones, you've got to go a different method to get engagement with. You don't just give up, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about using these new techniques. Then there's a step of methodology through of doing that. And the first one you start from is, how do you look on social media? Because if you're going to start doing engagement using all these other methods, the first thing you're going to do is get your ship in shape in terms of, what does your bio look like? How do you appear? Because if you get the first piece of engagement, which is about being noticed. So if you do something, you want them to notice you in a positive manner. If they notice you, they're going to have a look at your profile. Might be LinkedIn, might be Twitter. What are they going to find and what are they going to see? What's the first impression it gives? And in social, first impressions count in microseconds. We've always said in business, first impressions count. I was always taught that. Firm handshake, dress smart, present the first minute, the first 3 minutes. They've decided if they like you and this sort of thing. Today, an awful lot of that decision happens before you ever meet that individual. It happens them looking at you out of your control. What do they see online? Searching your name in Google or going to the social profile, LinkedIn, obviously you mentioned where we first connected. How do you look? What do you look like today? And can you make it look better? Because they're making a judgment on you on relative to the context you're trying to engage on. So if it's in financial services, how do you appear in that way? If you're an artist and on Instagram, it'll obviously be different. But do you present yourself in the way that gives them a good instant bio of who would they be dealing with? That's your starting point.
You said that this is a slow route, though, and I absolutely agree with you. This is a mindset change, a good mind shift. I think people do think this is a tech fix, Ian, which is frustrating. Mm-hmm. I know you and I share that. But what, in your experience, what is a reasonable amount of engagement time that you should have as lead time when it comes to social media?
Yeah, so that's you can get quick wins, right? So I've had wins where using the methods, and we'll probably dip into them as we talk rather than talk through them logically in as we go here, but using methods such as one I call Sherlock, be Sherlock. And that's about research. Don't just jump in and try and communicate. And you know, we all want to get to the end goal, which is a conversation, and I potentially want to sell you something. Don't jump to that. First thing is be Sherlock, not Lestrade, right? Find all the clues. Look at that person on social. Look at their different social profiles. Do they contribute to blogs? Have they been interviewed? Figure that out. So this is where I had a quick win in as one example, where I did all that research and identified a core message to this individual. And this was a CIO of a global multi-billion dollar business. And I crafted very carefully. So it probably took me a good 2 or 3 hours to craft the message, having done the research, but a message that I felt would be of value to that reader. And I did go straight for a LinkedIn email to the individual, which breaks a lot of the rules, right? But I got a response of, actually, I'll get my PA to contact you to set up a meeting, got a meeting. But that might be 1 in 50 you get that quick win for. But if you feel, I felt there was enough value in what I'd researched on this individual and what they spoke about of their agenda in the press and what they were trying to do in digital transformation in their company, that I had a very strong proposition. It wasn't trying to sell them over email. It was other businesses like you, and this is what we've done. And you spoke about this particular piece. It was making it very personal and relevant to what their agenda was, and they'd exhibited, and it worked. Other times, however, it's not that obvious, and you haven't got the context that matches so easily. Then it is, how do I nurture a relationship? So I always start people off thinking real world. What would you do in the real world if you went to an event and you're having coffee and you bumped into someone at the coffee machine? You say, how did you get here today? And what are you looking for? What are you from? Or which company are you from? It all feels natural. You're not selling. You're just asking little questions or finding ways to engage. You don't suddenly turn into, well, let me tell you what I do, and I think we should come and see you, etc. You might say, just learn a little bit, and you'll through the day, you might bump into them a little bit. And at some point, they'll ask, what do you do? And you start, the conversation will naturally evolve, and you may find there's common ground, and it evolves into something where they say, you give us your business card. But you didn't shorten that cycle. On social, it's the same. It's about, how do you get that first little inclination of conversation with them that's relaxed? And it's you can't message them saying, well, something out of the blue. So for me, you're looking for something where there's some alignment, some area where you can interact with them. It might be they've posted an article where you might be able to add a comment or a like or a reshare, something simple. It's about, can you get that individual to notice you? And ideally, click on your profile and have a quick look. You're not suddenly going to get a message from them or a connection invite. You sometimes might, but it's unlikely. But if they viewed your profile, great, you've got the first notice. Then it's about nurturing that by doing things, simple things like likes, comments, shares. Perhaps you'll see something they've posted where you've got an article or a blog that your company's produced that's relevant. So why wouldn't you comment on their article saying, I noticed you were commenting on this, really agree with that point. We wrote a blog on this with some extra stats you might find useful. You're trying to invoke a conversation where they reply to you and make comment. So the perfect world would be they reply back saying, that's really interesting. You haven't got anything else on this, have you? You've now got the starts of that conversation over the coffee machine. And you nurture, nurture, nurture. For me, the perfect target is they invite me to connect. They send me a question or an invite that it's instigated by them through me doing lots of those small interactions. But it's earning the right where it becomes a natural progression to, for ideally them to say, "What do you? We've interacted a lot, by the way. What do you do? Or we've got a project on to do. Did you do anything like this?" Because they feel like they've got to know you through social. And I know it sounds, this doesn't seem even natural behavior. It works. Through doing this method, and I always, when I'm presenting and doing training on this, I've got a nice slide deck on this. I've got to meet some of the world's top book authors on selling, some of the top cloud leaders in the world, because that's the environment and market that I'm in, and some semi-celebrities, because over time, we got to know each other. And for example, several of the book authors were coming to the UK for different events, and they reached out saying, "Do you know what? I'm coming out. You're not around such and such when I'm over, are you? We should meet for a coffee." So I've got evidence, many, many examples of where it started off just with likes and comments, just like we did with the LinkedIn connection, and we're now here doing a podcast. And it nurtured and nurtured to the point of you sort of felt like you knew each other, and the convenience came up where you could meet in person. And then I've got all these great pictures of me, selfies with these individuals, and we share each other's content now, and we interact a lot more, and we do joint blogs, some of us together, and joint podcasts, etc. It works from both a business and a personal perspective, without question.
I love that you said, you know, the real world and social media nowadays, everybody, is the real world to so many people. That interaction with the screen is how relationships begin. And it is the long game. And I cannot. First, I would love to see those slides. Maybe that's something that we can figure out later. Sure. We can do a webinar together. I'd love to see that stuff. But it's social. Right. When you talk about social media, you can hear it in your voice, the importance of making sure you're still following social mores and folkways. Right. The actual philosophical underpinnings of what makes you successful in society. If I come up to you and I immediately put my hand out and hand you a business card and ask you for business. Right. That's not socially appropriate. Therefore, it is also not socially appropriate to do that using social media. Ian, my team and I laugh at some of the contacts that I get on LinkedIn because they don't know. They didn't even do any of the due diligence that you were talking about. They're trying to hawk me some product, man.
I get it all the time. So the worst example that I've had recently, and I won't name and shame, but is we at Natterbox, my day job, sales leader, we sell telephony, the most integrated with Salesforce on the planet. Okay. Unsurprisingly, we run our business on Salesforce, but it's pretty open from our website what we do. It's clear as day. Our global focus is on being in the best with Salesforce. I am being approached consistently with people trying to sell me a CRM platform. And not just once, coming back to me with actually, I've just said that the worst case scenario, tried to approach on CRM, nothing. I've had a reapproach with, and now we've got integration with a telephony system. We can do this wondrous stuff. Wow. That's a competitor of ours. So now you're doubly you haven't even done the basics right, which is a quick website scan, a quick profile scan, figure it out. I get people trying to sell me social selling training. Mm-hmm. Read my profile. I speak on it all the time. It's a really easy one. But what they're doing is just looking for a job title search using LinkedIn Navigator, a technology. They're not approaching using methodology. They're just using technology for technology's sake and then whacking it out there. And they're not getting results. Surprise, surprise, if they're doing that.
Yeah, they just come across as being lazy. But let's talk more about methodology. What else has worked for you?
So I break the methodology down to a number of steps. And it isn't necessarily linear steps. They can go in any order. So it's find. So firstly, who are the individuals in the business you're trying to engage with that are relevant to your conversation? Find them. And find them not just as individuals, but what connections you have with them. So that's the 6-7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right? Everyone knows someone who knows someone. The first thing I always do is, okay, who are the 3, 4, 5, 1 individual in the business we're trying to engage with? Who is the business? And then I always look. So any of my sales reps come to me with work. Look, I'm talking to this individual at a company, got a prospect. First thing I do is slow them down. I say, right, give me the name. What's the company? Firstly, bring LinkedIn up. Who is it we're looking at? Look at the company. Who am I connected with at that company? And it's often, and the reason I have to look is because people move around. So often there's a lucky break you get that someone you worked with 15 years ago, or you knew, or you've done something for in the past, or was a customer, now's there. So you've got an inroad into their business. May not be the person that your teams engage with, but there's a way in to get some insight into that business. Fantastic. Sometimes you get a really lucky break. Great. So that's the first thing. The people we're talking to, who are they connected to that I know? Now, it may not be I can get an introduction or leverage, but if nothing else, and that one I described earlier where I got into a major organization at senior level was connected to someone I knew really well. So I reached out to them on the phone. You can change channels, right? So they were on LinkedIn. I know this person. I'll phone them up. Hey, how you doing? I'm trying to get the conversation with this person. I figured this stuff out. What's your engagement with them? Ah, you've sold to them before. You've sold this whole thing to them here. What are they like as an individual? What are they like as a person? Because I can't tell that from the screen. You know, do they like electronic communication? Do they prefer in person? The more I can know about them, both electronically and from the real world, the more I can then look to engage. So engage is another part of that. Listen is part of it. So often I get people who are talking about this and social selling of it's LinkedIn. Social selling isn't LinkedIn. It's a methodology. LinkedIn is a component technology. So is Twitter. So is Facebook, Instagram, depending on the nature of your customer and your business. So let's have a look at that individual on LinkedIn, but let's listen to them on Twitter. Follow them. See what they share, because if it's going to be an ongoing engagement, you're not going straight through the door now. Isn't it interesting to know what's coming out from them? Keep an eye on it. It's flattering. There's nothing wrong with following someone. It's not stalkerish. That's the way social media is meant to work. So follow them on those platforms. Keep an eye on the interactions and what they share, because you're looking for triggers. When can I engage? If they share something in 2 weeks' time that you've got particularly relevant comment to, that you can be authentic to, add a comment. They've posted something publicly. So if you've got a good comment you can add to that, or context where it's not pitchy, not trying to sell, not, oh, we do that, you should talk to us, which again, I see a lot of. Someone posts something and every vendor jumps on and puts their advert. Add value. Give something back. Maybe it's, as I said, you've done a research study or you've seen something recently. It's not even your own content, because it's in the area you're in. Add a piece of advice. What you're looking to do is get that person to notice you, get that person to see value in you, and get that person to want to interact with you.
My business partner, Kirk Lowe, has done this for everything that you're saying for years. And when I partnered with him, one of the things that he had said is, Matt, you always have to make sure that you're consistently adding value. And I love that. And I also love the specificity, especially about what you're talking about. When you do your due diligence and you know that you can provide that value, the person, the recipient of that value add is very gracious. And what a great way to deepen the relationship. Isn't that how we're all supposed to work anyway? I mean, you do something nice for somebody, they do something nice for you, then you build a relationship. Again, this is social stuff, everybody. And Ian, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. Why don't people get this yet? I mean, it's not like social media is new.
Because, and this is what I've seen in organizations, there's a couple of things. One is, I'll give you three steps. One is it's typically called social selling. And it's the wrong name, because people think, oh, well, my product wouldn't sell over social. Well, that's not what this is doing. It should be called social media engagement to start off a discussion which turns into business, blah, 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 right? So it's some horrible thing that doesn't roll off the tongue. But social selling is a nice packaged, branded name, but it doesn't really describe what you're doing, because you're not really selling, okay? It's about engagement. So that's the first thing. Second thing is typically social media in a lot of organizations is policed by marketing. You've got brand police. You can't do this on social. You can't do this. You can't engage. You can't do this. And instead of embracing it, there's a lot of blockage. And you can't do that with social. You need the personality of the salesperson or the individual to come across. And it always worries me when you get that, because you allow your salesperson to go out and meet customers and to talk to them, whatever. Well, if you don't trust them, and the reason people have this is because, yeah, but that's a one-to-one conversation. If you post on social, it's global. So train them. Invest in some training, set them on the right path, give them guidelines, but you can't be brand police anymore. The game has changed. The world has changed. It's about helping them understand where the boundaries are, helping them use the right tools, help them use the right methodologies to do that. And the other bit is, it's people don't think it works, right? It sounds too easy, sounds too simple. And I always say that this whole thing is not rocket science, but it's not for the dumb. So it's not complex to understand, but you do have to think about what you're doing, because if you go dumb, you will do that. Connect to someone. Here's my sales pitch in the first email. People get it wrong all the time, right? Because they've got a little bit of information and they think they know what they're doing because they've got access to social, but they haven't been trained, and they just use it as a technology tool and it fails.
What is the number one piece of mindfulness advice that you have gotten feedback on from all of the people that you presented to when they come up to you and say, Ian, my God, that was the piece of information?
So I'm going to give you a real simple one, and it's right at the start of the process. And even people who are doing this and know a lot about doing this, this is the one that they've all jumped on. And I presented this recently at a few events when I've been on panels, and you can see everyone writing it down. And I've had a few emails like, oh my God, I didn't think of that. So here's the easy one. Personal brand, the image, we're all visual, right? If you look on, it's all about video, and people judge things by image first over words. So your photograph you use on social has a high value. So we just pick a nice photo. We assume we've gone past the using the picture out with friends at night, or the dinner photo, or the wedding photo because you were done up. Assume we've got past that bit. So we just use a reasonable photo and we're done. Okay. So why wouldn't you go a little bit further? So here, tell you what I came across by accident is a site, which I'll tell you in a second. You put your photo in. You vote on other people and you choose personal or business. So you choose business, and it gives you some criteria such as authenticity. What's the word? I'm trying to think of the three. There's three or four categories it gives you. So it's like authenticity, trustworthiness, etc. Importance or things like this. I forget, it's not the exact terms, but along those lines. So you go and vote on other people, or you can pay to get votes, but you can go and vote on other people and that will build you up credits. So you do you go and vote on 40 people. You've now got 40 credits. Put your photo in and you'll get judged by 40 people on those criteria who don't know you. So this is getting you a true view of what's the first impression that photo does. Not from friends and family, not it's a nice photo, but a scientific test. So I always show when I do this as slides, here's the photo I used to use. Here's the photo I then started using. And here's the ratings. And the first photo I had was a nice professionally done bio shot for a website. And it sort of did okay. I put the same photo on, but the only difference, and I always test the audience when they're seeing it, is spot the difference. And it's exactly the same, but I've got glasses on. And I went something from like 52, I'll make these up, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it's something like 52% being viewed as credible to 88%. It's the same photo with glasses. So all three criteria jumped up. In speaking about this recently at events, something twigged to me of, I wonder, and I've just tried it in the past couple of weeks, and I flipped the photo to face the other way. So it's either right rather than left, or left rather than right. I forget which way I flipped. It went up again, and different criteria. So what I've done is I changed the photo, because that's the photo. If you look at what I'm using in my social profiles now after this, that's the one I tested and that came out with the highest results. So you don't just choose. So it's simple things like that. Little things count and mount up. Is that going to get you a big order because you've got a better photo? No. But it's a combination of your profile, your headline. 50 small things all add up to more micro decisions of, do people think, hey, they look trustworthy, respectful. I want to deal with them. I'm going to reply. You cannot control what people's reaction is, but you can do a lot to influence it. And this website I'm mentioning is called photofeeler.com.
Wonderful. We will make sure that that's in the show notes, Ian, while you're talking here. So your Skype photo is is a farther out shot flipped the opposite direction of what your LinkedIn profile is. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. You totally have it right there.
Then do you know what? Thank you for that, because I haven't used Skype in a few weeks since I made the change. Skype one is the wrong way around, so I'm going to flip it. Thank you for that. I will correct that afterwards.
You're welcome.
Nicely spotted.
But how funny is that, that just those little tweaks make such a huge difference? I love it. Yep. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. Hey, if somebody wants to get a hold of you to have you speak at their conference, what do you got going on that, you know, we can pay you back for giving us such great information, Ian?
Sure. So the way to find me, and this will give you another tip on little things you can do different to everyone else, and make it easy, on LinkedIn, go to ianmoyse.co.uk, and Twitter, ianmoyse.cloud. So all I've done is created my own domains, cheap, cheerful, simple, and you can remember those, right, listening to this podcast. You don't have to go onto Twitter and start searching my name and figure out, is that him or not? That will take you straight to the profile page, and I've also cross-linked the accounts. So you go to one of my social accounts, you'll find a link that takes you to the other accounts and vice versa. Make it easy for your audience to find you on any platform they want to find you. Use the same or at least similarly identifiable photos so they know it's you. Make it easy for your customer or prospective customer.
Ian, thank you so much for your thought leadership today. I'd love to have you back in 2019. Talk about more stuff that you've learned, if you don't mind.
Love to. Thank you.
Ian Moyse, our guest today from across the pond, a social media and sales training expert. Like I've said, and like we said at the beginning of the podcast, him and I have been connected on social media, especially LinkedIn, for probably almost 10 years now. I love his stuff. You need to connect with him there. He's got some great, great connections, some great content, and also make sure that you find him from his website. We love when people come on and share ideas that reinforce all of the appropriate behaviors that you're supposed to have, especially when you're acting socially. So, Ian, thank you so much for your brain.
Thank you.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe and all button below. That way, every time we come out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. So for Ian Moyse, this is Matt Haller. And for everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at iris.xyz.